Christ and God's love. As I looked at it in another book, it was entitled, Believe God's Love. Believe God's Love. Now, when we talk about love, not God's love, but our love.
Yes.
Our love is conditional. Sister Gwen already knew it. Our love is conditional. And you know, I wish we could say it wasn't, but we're conditional.
Yes.
So hopefully, after we finish with our lesson, it'll spur something else on the inside for us.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're going to need it as these days go on.
Right.
Now, when we think about love, we think about what somebody might do for us. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love you. You brought me this and that. Still, it's conditional.
It's conditional.
You love them because they brought you something. You love them because they say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But God's love is an unconditional love.
Yes.
And none of us are in that spot. None of us, we can't say we are because we're not. We would like to be.
Yes.
And that's our goal,
yes,
is to deal with unconditional love.
All right.
As we think about God's love, one of the lessons that I was looking at started with God is.
Yeah.
God is.
Mm-hmm.
God is love. God is truth. God is life. God is victory. God is.
God is.
God is all of that. But we're not there yet.
No.
I want to start. We don't need our introductions, okay, but we're going to go on. I want to start with 1 John 4 and 1. And I want to read down to 13 so that we can see exactly what Paul was really talking about. Because this is Paul that's talking. When he says that he testifies of him, everybody can't testify of him. And as Paul was talking about testifying of him, Paul had seen him.
Yes, right.
Paul had been with him.
Yes.
Yes, had touched him.
Yes.
So Paul can testify of him. We testify of him as far as what he's done for us. He's changed our lives.
Yes.
He's offered us the free gift of salvation. That's what he's done for us.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And if we are sure that we've got that salvation, there is an assurance.
That's right.
In what God has done for us.
That's
and what he can do. When I thought about the word assurance, I thought about trust, real, believe, assurance, confidence. Do we have a confidence in God? We need to have a confidence in God that he can do. Because the world's going to do all kinds of things to us. They're going to change things. They're going to add to things. They're going to take away things. But we've got to have an assurance that what God said is real. I'm going to start with John 4 and 1. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, Paul's saying, John is saying, oh, thank you, honey. I'm reading from John. He's saying, don't believe every spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now, already, it is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are in God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Yes.
No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and this love is perfect in us. This lesson is going back to last week's lesson.
Yes.
This lesson also reminds me of the message that Elder Bailey preached about God so loved the world. And he went back. And then we got to God so loved the world. Because a lot of times we say things that make us feel good. We say things that sound good. But when you read the whole chapter and you see what the contents it's fallen in, oh. So now, as John was saying, don't believe every spirit. You know, try the spirit. Because people are going to always believe in something. And the world is so tricky, so subtle,
right,
in how it changes things that go around. Sister Gwen, I'm going to talk about you real quick.
Okay.
That's
okay. Praise the
Lord. We send text messages, don't we?
Yes.
We cut them, short them, use little letters. Every time I send my daughter a text, she says, "Mama, why do you have to write incomplete sentences?" Because that's what I know. But look what the world has done to text messages.
Oh, yeah.
Cut out the whole word. If you shortened it to where it's got one letter. When it says R, I spell it A-R-E.
That's right.
Some people spell it R. When it says U, I spell it Y-O-U.
Yes.
They spell it
U.
We have to be so very careful. Because things will change. They'll look good. You'll want to be a part of that. You'll think that's the way to be. But some things, like the Word of God, has to stay the same. You can't change it. You can't cut it. You can't make it into anything other than what it is. The word says, if you take away from his word,
curse.
See? So some things you can get away with it, some things we can't. And we have to be careful in those aspects of what we are doing and what we aren't. We are really to lead by example, not by word. And I even saw in some of our lessons, it said that, you know, talking, as we say, talking is cheap. Don't cost you nothing to talk. People may not want to hear it, but lead by example. Right. How will people know you love God
if
you don't love your brothers?
That's right.
Now, there may be people that do things you don't like, and it, well, don't say nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell it to God later on. God, I sure wish she could change her ways. I sure wish things could be a little better. But to talk about it, that's your example.
Right.
Watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Gwen?
No, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I was just agreeing.
Yes.
I totally agree.
Yes. We have to be very careful because the world is out to get us any way it can.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
And the world will look at you and say, well, I thought you was a Christian.
All the time.
And you have to be on guard. And what you believe must be believable to not only your fellow Christians, but those people in the world.
That's right.
They have to, and God will let you know quick.
Yes.
When you're more in agreement with what the world is thinking and doing than what he has told you to do.
Yes, absolutely. Brother Block?
A situation a while back. I don't know what my job or whatever, and I got tired of something. Somebody said, well, ain't you supposed to be a Christian? And you know what I replied back? Even God is named. And God has limits also. When God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was tired of the sinful act.
Yes, he was.
But look at it. We made an image of God, and God has filled us also.
Yeah.
So when I told the person that even God gets mad,
there
wasn't no reply.
No reply. We still have to be careful, and unfortunately, people of the world thinks Christians can be dumped on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And we're supposed to be okay with it. No, we're not okay with it. We're not okay with it. Because, as Brother Blunt said, God got mad at some things, but we don't want to use that, you know, but you're right. We just can't take anything.
Right.
And we should have a word to give them from the word that may possibly help them. May possibly help
that's
them.
Right.
Yes, because that's what our goal is going to be. God's love is his love to us and our love to others. This thing is supposed to go on and on and on. And if we can't exhibit it, then people may not see it. Someone at once said, you might be the only Bible somebody reads.
Yes, right.
Because if they don't read the word, but they can see the word in your life, that might be a help to them. And that's what we want to be. Not a hindrance, but a help. Not a stumbling block, but a help. So don't think of yourself more mightily just because you know the word, because now you're going to turn them away from you for sure. And you're going to turn them away because she thinks she's something.
Yeah.
She thinks she know everything.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But you've got to be careful in the way you speak to people and the way you answer people.
Right.
We're talking about God's love.
And you know what? That is so evident in the church.
Mm.
Whatever church it is, whatever body, part of the body of Christ it is, we have to be careful how we speak to one another.
Right.
And I find that is what I found in this one church. Because we as black people, really, we are some great people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care what the world says, but we are. Because when we grab hold of something, we really grab hold of it, and we go into it, and we are going to, and this is what the examples I've seen over the years, no matter what church I've gone to, I've seen those powerful examples of, that's not right. This is what
yes.
we do, you know?
Yes.
And so we have to be careful if we've been in a good while, to be careful with our brothers and sisters, because
yes.
that's where it comes.
Yes.
Because everybody is not coming in like some of us with less sin. They're coming in where they let themselves go in sin.
Yes.
And, you know, and we tend to say, well, I never did that. No, you might not have, but it's still in you to do.
Yes.
You know, so we do have to be careful
yes.
with what we say, not only outside the church, but inside the church.
Yes, yes. And I think most of this is inside of the church.
I think so, too.
Most of it's inside of the church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes inside of the church, you feel you've been here longer than someone else. Mm-hmm. You've always sat there on that seat.
Yes.
Don't nobody shouldn't be in your seat.
Yes.
Because that's your seat.
Mm-hmm.
But this is God's house.
That's right.
So we have to remember that everything belongs to God.
That's right.
We don't have anything. Only thing we can do is learn from this word and then be able to pass that on. We always, as black people, we always talk about reaching back and pulling somebody up. But as believers of God, we really need to pull somebody up. We need to be talking to people about salvation because they need that. They do need encouragement, Sister Gwen. We need encouragement. But most of us, because we do know the word, we don't have to have a pity party. We can read the word.
That's right.
Read the word.
That's right.
Now, if you just have to tell somebody how bad you feel, tell God.
Tell Jesus.
He'll listen. He won't even interrupt. He'll keep on listening to what it is you have to say. Now, I've read from 1 all the way down to 12, and our lesson starts with 13. Let's look at verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his spirit. What spirit are we speaking of?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. When Jesus went away, before he left, he said, I have to go. But I won't leave you alone. I will send you a comforter. And we know that comforter is the Holy Spirit. Now, really and truly, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we really don't know what we're doing. We're walking blind. We're walking blind. We say we love God, but if we don't have the Spirit of God, we're not walking right. We're blind. We're going to stumble and we're going to fall. So we need to have the Spirit on the inside, which says dwell in him. When you think about dwell, what do you think? Give me what you would say about dwell.
Lives, abides.
Lives and abides. Oh, she took it.
That's okay.
Right.
To be with.
To be with.
Yes, that's good.
To be with always.
Forever and ever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it temporary.
No.
You need it always.
Always.
When you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. Because I don't think there's very many of us who go to sleep at night and say, ooh, I might not wake up tomorrow.
No.
We don't say that, do we? Because we believe, don't we?
That's right.
We believe that God is going to keep us. There again, that's where what I saw in here talked about fear.
Yeah.
That's the enemy's main weapon. Fear. Put a little fear in them.
Yeah.
Put a little fear in them, and things will change. In 14 it says, and we. I look at the word we. Who was he talking about? And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. What did it say about we, Sister Nicholson? What did it say about we? Who was that talking about?
He was talking about those that had seen Jesus.
And those were who? His what?
Apostles.
Those were his apostles.
Disciples.
His disciples, mm-hmm. his apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to confuse that with us,
mm-hmm.
talking about we.
That's right.
And it's so interesting when we look at these words spiritually, according to the word,
mm-hmm.
but if we look at it in the regular English language,
right.
We. But John was talking about the apostles because they had seen him, touched him, been with him. So they could testify that he was sent to be the Savior of the world. Bless the Lord, it was for the world.
Yes.
Not for just the apostles. Amen. Not for just the people of that time. But it is for now, it's for us. It's just like being Gentiles. We were grafted in.
Yes.
Because the word was supposed to go to the Jew first.
That's right.
But they didn't want to do nothing with it.
No.
So bless the Lord. That's how we got in.
That's right. That's right.
That's how we got in.
That's right.
So, you know, we are witnesses to the fact that Christ lives in us.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
what we can testify
yes.
to.
Yes.
We can't testify to what John is testifying to.
No.
But you got a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a testimony.
Yes.
Everybody's got a testimony. And we want to testify of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Sometimes even in our testimonies, we testify to the fact
yes.
of what Jesus has done for us.
Yes.
How he has changed us.
Yes, yes.
Now, if you're not changed, if you're that same old rascal that you were before, then you're telling a lie.
That's right.
And the word will talk about he's a liar.
He's a liar and the truth ain't.
Right. Right.
We're not changed.
We're not changed.
No.
We're the same.
You know something else that I saw with that too? That they, as we could testify, because they not only saw him before he died, they saw him after he died.
That's it.
And that's the
That
was the great thing. You know, because at the time the people were getting so confused and everything, he
yes.
and that, that John was able to tell them, we saw him, you know, and if they'd ask you, we saw him dead and alive.
Absolutely.
You know, we saw him on the cross, and we saw him after he resurrected,
right.
just as he said he
right.
would do.
Yes.
Just as he said he would do. And that's exactly what John was saying, because John had seen him before.
Yeah.
He was with him.
Yes.
He listened to him. He knew of his teachings.
Leaned on his breast.
Yes. John, my beloved.
Yeah.
Then he died. And as you say, he saw him after death.
Yes.
Testified of
him. That's right.
You know, even when I think about, I think we talked about it last week before last, about all these different pictures of Jesus.
Yes.
Some of them say he's black. Some of them say
yeah.
he's white.
Yeah.
Some of them say he had long hair. Some of them say he had short hair.
Mm-hmm.
We can't testify to that.
No.
We can't tell anybody that. So I said, wow. And there again, it's a symbol. It's a something to relate to, I guess you'd say. But not for us.
No.
Not for us.
No.
Because the first scripture said, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his
spirit.
Spirit.
Right.
His spirit. Don't get tangled up in that. What he looks like.
No.
Where he came from, what he did. That's another way the world will want to make your testimony not true.
Yeah, exactly.
Mother Nicholson.
We don't know, according to the word, how we shall appear. But all I know is I shall be like him.
Shall be like him.
Didn't That's we talk, all I care about.
Didn't we talk about that?
That's all I care about.
That's right.
So you can say it's pink, purple, polka dot. The word says we do not yet know.
That's right.
That's right.
That's
but
right.
we shall be like him.
We shall be like him. Sister,
I got quick a lot of times, and this guy walked up to me, and we were at a meeting, a church meeting, and he said, you know, some people say Jesus was black. I looked at him, and I'm, like I said, I'm not quick, but the spirit came so quick, it even surprised me, because I said to him, yeah, but his red blood saved us. You know, it's his red blood. That's the thing, the blood that he shed for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The only blood.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing.
It really is.
And when you talk about him living in us, if you haven't noticed some difference in, I'm sitting here amazed because this morning I hadn't gotten to this lesson at all. But my mind was centered on love. This is love. This is when you do this, when you humble yourself, when you do things that are against your natural inclination.
Yes, yes. Come out of your comfort zone.
Right.
Have to do something different that you didn't think you were going to be able to do.
Or wouldn't want to do.
Or wouldn't want to do. And that has happened to a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've all had to do things that we weren't comfortable with.
That's right.
But if you love God, you say you do, then you've got to start to change.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, if you say you love God, well, you can't see.
Right.
How can you love a brother that you see, but you say, no, I don't like him. See, and Bessie, we can't even dislike different groups or different religions.
Right.
We can't dislike them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't dislike the Jehovah's Witnesses. We don't have anything to say about them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't dislike Seventh-day Adventists. We don't have anything to say to them about that. Nor can we say we don't like them.
That's right. That's right.
I think our language has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Our language has to change on what we dislike and what we say we like.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that if we dislike any of our brothers, we don't love God.
No,
that's scary. You know? So,
it's amazing how you're stirring up these thoughts because I heard this one man say, looking at the world through God's eyes. And I thought about it because it says God so loved the world that he gave. So we can't look at ISIS or anybody else the way we have to look with them as God's maybe potential children. Are people that can be saved like we were?
Yes.
If we have all the inclinations of the ISIS that we have, but if we got angry with somebody, we wanted to kill them, or hurt them so bad, or even with our mouths, things that would crush them or kill them. So you're right. That love, the scripture, I think it's in, I can't remember if it's in Romans or Corinthians, but it said that the love, the Spirit, flows down through us and out.
Yes.
It's not something we hold on or give it to whom we want to. It flows. And it's amazing because as I'm listening and thinking about this, these are thoughts that I've gone through all week, and it's just amazing to hear it like this.
Yes.
It really is.
It really is. But there are things that are going on in the world that are not right.
No.
They're not right.
That's right.
Killing, stealing,
murder.
It's not right.
That's right.
But God loved everybody.
God loved it.
He wants the world to hear his word.
Yes.
He wants everybody. So it's going to be up to us to be the one to spread the word. Spread the good news. Wasn't hard to spread bad news. Somebody call you and give you some bad news. You call somebody else, give it to them. You call somebody else and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be just that quick on calling them about the word. We've got to change our language. We've got to change our attitude.
Oh, yes.
If we really love God.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you believe, then we've got to do something about it. Now, I had found a couple of assurances that dealt with God's love. Let me see. Assurances. We need assurances. If we don't have an assurance, then what are we believing? I'm going to read John. Not First John. I'm just in John. John 13, and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither go thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus said unto him, whether thou lay down thy life for my sake, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter wanted to go. He said he wanted to go. He said, why can't I go? They were followers of Jesus. They loved Jesus. They never thought. Peter never thought he would really deny.
No, never did.
I wonder, where are we with that? Yeah. How far will we go?
Right.
Can we go that far to say, I'll follow you? We sing a song that says, I've come this far, I can't turn around now.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really meaning that?
Yes, sir.
Can we not turn around?
Good question.
Will we stay? Or will we turn around?
That's right.
Peter didn't think he would.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't no better than we were. But that was something he had said, and we've heard that. But the Lord said a new commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. Another part said, love God's children. And I often wondered about that myself. I said, now, does that mean I only have to love the people in the church? Do I only have to love the people in the church? Do I only love God's people? Who is God's people? Who's God's people? Jim? Brother?
His creation.
His creation.
It says, we know that we are the children of God. And I can't remember where the scripture is, but that's the only words that are coming to me, that we know that, and it is a difference between the children of God and his children. His first children was Israel. And he has since, as you earlier said, we as Gentiles have been grafted in. So there are only two people, and that's the Gentiles and Israel, but God has molded us, and I wish I knew where the scripture was, but I can't think of where it is. But it said, we know it's a certain thing that he tells us, that we know that we are the children of God. And I just can't remember where the scripture is.
Because he keeps his commandments.
So,
hereby know we're the children of God, yes, because they keep his commandments versus the children of the devil.
Yeah.
Good morning. But there's a difference, as Mother said, between the children of God and the children of the devil. And that scripture is John was not written to the Gentiles. It was written to the church. So when he says he loved children, he is specifically applying this to the church. Because there is a difference in the way that the love is applied to the sinner versus, or the children of God versus the children of the world. God never calls the children of the world, we're sons of Adam. We have to be born into the family to be children of God. We are offsprings. As Paul says, he was talking about the Cretans, whom declared we're the offspring of God. We offspring of him. But to be of his family, one must be born of him. And so this commandment here, to love, is to the children of the family. Because this is John. This is John talking to the church, not talking to the world.
Right.
And then, as our teacher has said, but it doesn't mean that at some place else it doesn't tell us to love the people in the world. We should. We just don't love the world. You know, we love everybody. We even love our enemies, is the call. Because this is exactly what God commands. But you can't love your enemy like you do your friend, because your enemy won't let you. But you can still do good even to them that despitefully use you. And that's what Scripture calls us unto.
So we see the difference in.
Yes, yes, yes.
The children of God being born into.
Right.
And there again, that brings us back to having the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Without the Spirit of God, you can't do it.
No.
It's hard.
Yes.
And as we say, even in some churches, it's hard. Because everybody that goes to church may not start loving everybody.
That's right.
They've got to learn what they can do, what can be done, and what we should do. Now, I looked up the word assurance. We sing a song, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed.
And assurance said confidence, trust, full conviction. Do you have an assurance in God? Do you have an assurance in Jesus? Do you have a full conviction? Again, we need to lead by example if you really have a full conviction. Certainty. And then there was one, firmness of mind. Firmness of mind. Do we have an assurance? Do we really believe? Or do we just say we believe? I looked at John 4, and that's John, not 1 John. John 4 and 19. John 4 and 19.
John 15.
Yes. I'm going to start at verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servants know not what the Lord does, but I have called you friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chose me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. John talks, and I'm just in John, not 1 John. John talks a lot about love. Just about love. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hates you. So it's like, don't be surprised. It's not strange. If ye were of the world, The world would love its own.
Yes.
But because ye are not of the world, thank the Lord, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Yes, sir.
I think it's appropriate that John is the one that talks about love. Because in John, the first one that you told us to turn to, mm-hmm. he gave his commandment.
Mm-hmm.
He said, love one another, and talking about the disciples. And really, they didn't take with that because he asked, where are you going to go?
Yes.
So they really lost sight yes. of what Jesus was saying.
Yes.
But John picks it up and talks more in depth about it. And then you wonder, why wasn't there another disciple that laid his head on Jesus' breast?
Mm-hmm.
Why did John?
Mm-hmm.
John was at that time also, I believe, expressing his love and his affection and wanting to be close to Jesus.
Yes.
And so
yes.
of all the people that have the deeper understanding of all the disciples about love, it was John.
Even, like you say, the first scripture went to when John wanted to go, why can't I go? You know? Was that Peter wanted to go in the first one? Yeah. I mixed them both verses. He wanted to go.
Yeah.
Peter wanted to go, but Jesus told him, in so many words, you won't make it. You know, you're going to have to deny me. That's why I said, would we be able to make it?
Yeah. And what was Peter expressing by saying that? I wonder.
By saying,
you know, I want to go to, I mean, what? So many people are very spur of the moment.
Right.
They don't give any real thought
right.
to what it is. And that's what I was bringing out.
Yeah.
Where are you going? I want to go too.
We do
without figuring out, where are you going?
That's right.
How long are you going to be there?
That's right.
What do I need to take with me? How do I prepare?
Mm-hmm.
He just, I want to go. Why can't I go? I mean, just like that. Mm-hmm. And many Christians are like that. I mean, they jump at the first thought, the first inkling of what's going to happen without giving it any thought,
right.
any consideration.
Right.
Maybe I'm not ready.
Mm.
Maybe I need to have more of this or more of that.
Mm-hmm. Sister Green?
You know what, to kind of piggyback on that, what the question that keeps jumping in my mind is, how do you show love? How do you actually show love? Whether you like the person or dislike the person or whatever, what makes you show? We know it's the Holy Spirit in us because He unctions us at different times. But sometimes the unction maybe just heard it. Somebody called you and told you a certain thing. There has to be an unction that comes into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For prayer, mm-hmm. or for wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when someone tells you that so-and-so lost their husband,
mm-hmm.
what comes in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Showing love that, you know, we might not be the same place, same time, same crowd, same group, but how do we show each other that? That is the biggest thing. How do we show love for one another in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. in the church? And I think one of the first things I heard when I came here was Sister Pat praying. And she was praying for the churches. I had never in all my life ever heard anybody praying for the churches. So that has been one of my constant prayers since then. But it was the love.
Mm-hmm.
It was the love flowing through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we just need to think, how can I show love?
Mm-hmm.
We know we have the Spirit. We can ask Him, how can I show love? How can I show I care?
Mm-hmm.
Not just to those you like, but to those that you don't like. Maybe it's a patient that every time you go in is cussing you out or
mm-hmm.
wanting to spit on you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to show love.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question that's in my mind. Because it's not a temporary thing. It's not just for today. It's for the rest of your life.
That's right. So it's a commandment.
Yes, it's a commandment.
It's a commandment.
Thank you.
How do we show love? Do you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Okay.
The issue is love is a fruit of the spirit, so it's not something that you get outside of. You cannot do it unless you already have the spirit of love, and that's what we have. We already have it. So it's as much as ask a child, how does a child show love? It's as almost as natural as breathing, because that child is so acquainted with his parent until its actions are. And that's what love is. It's not a thought process, because if you have to think your way through it, then you're trying to do what is already given to you to do. The issue has to be with yielding to what the Spirit of Christ and what God, because God is love.
Yes.
And so there are things about how we express that love. You know, how does a husband express his love to his wife? And God gives those, and he tells us, and children, obey your parents in the Lord. I mean, there's too much simplicity in the word that points us to these things. So what we end up doing sometimes is complicating the issue because we're forgetting just the simple practical things. And if we don't keep in mind that when we're talking about these disciples and the things that they are going through, you got to remember, is this pre-Pentecost or is this post-Pentecost? If we keep identifying ourselves with pre-Pentecost, then we show right away that we have not come as far as they were, the disciples who laid the foundation. Not for us to keep going through those exact same things. Paul said, you know, we suffer. He said, we're beaten every day. He said, and you say that you live. He said, I would that you did. You know, but I think that the apostles were given unto death, under beating, you know, but for that you might glory. But that's what the apostles did. So the issue becomes, and this is what John is saying here, it's a commandment, but it's a commandment that doesn't grieve us.
No.
See, the commandment doesn't grieve us. It doesn't put us into consternation as to, you know, who can I do this? Is it possible? And what if I should fail? And because that's not what the commandment is. You have received it. And this is why Jesus said, hereby shall men know
that
you are my disciples.
Yes.
Because you have love one for the other. Mm-hmm. And so when he finally, to bring Peter to the point, it was after his resurrection, he took him, and they were out fishing. Peter decided he was going to go fishing. He tells him, he goes out on the sea, and he comes out and says, children, have you any meat? And he don't know. And so then he tells him, casting it out. And John, here again, John recognizes that's the master. And so immediately, when he comes in, they already fish on the coals. They bring it in, but Christ already had them. Then he asks him simply, John, do you agape me? I mean, Peter, do you agape me? Peter's afraid because he didn't made that, his elder brother said that, quick, non-thinking confession, not led by the Spirit, but just by his flesh. He makes that confession, and he's afraid to make that confession that I love you that much. He said, feed my little ones. Peter, do you really agape me? Lord, you know I flail you. I think of you like a brother. I'm very fond of you, because he's afraid to say, because he asked him, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the disciples? Do you love me more than the other fish? And so when we start comparing them, that's a mistake. And that's what he was showing. It's not about do you love me more than these, but how much do you love me? What is your capacity of love that he has given you? And it's based on the capacity of God's word to do his will.
Just coattailing on what Pastor said, those three questions that Jesus asked Peter required action. And I think in our discussion last week, we were talking about love is action. Love is not something that stands still and just, okay, I love you. And well, how are you expressing it? Well, you express it by action, what you do. It's like what you do for Christ.
Yes.
You know, you love him, then love is never a question, it's an action. You question somebody's love by their inaction. And if there's action made in the guise of love, then that is an expression. So as long as you never express your love, then it's never expressed. Jesus expressed the ultimate love for the world by giving his life. And so I think John, in this chapter right here, is trying to explain how we as disciples loved and how we were told to love in the scripture that you gave us earlier. Mm-hmm. But now he's talking about the people, mm-hmm. how they should love. Mm-hmm. And since they were, and he only used the one, I can't think of it now. He used the one connection that we, talking about this, we saw it.
That's
and he's
right.
talking about his brothers.
In the body of Christ, do we, like as far as a woman, like a woman that's serving the Lord, what would be the difference between the children of God and, for example, like you say, a man of God or a child of God, what would be the difference? I mean, I hear people say children of the Lord, but what would be, like, the difference, right? Because, like, some lady on my job said, well, we all children of God, mm-hmm. you know, but what would be the difference between children of God and being, mm-hmm. like, the man of God? Mm-hmm. What would be the difference? I'm just asking.
Yes, and that's a good question, because I think we kind of hit on that when we were talking about do we love the people of the church, the body of Christ, but what about them out there? Now, your question is, what's the difference between, the lady said, we're all God's children. In essence, the world belongs to God and everything that's in it, because he created the world and everything that's in it. So, those people who want to be a part, even though they're not born of the Spirit, they may say, as their way, we're all children of God.
Right.
But I think it was defined that we have to be born of the Spirit to be part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. You know, when they talk about the body, how it's fitly put together, and that the left arm can't tell the right arm, I don't need you no more to get on out of my way, because we're those who are born of Christ, born again with the Spirit of the Lord. And we talked about dwell, what it means to dwell, and we heard live in, we heard abide. So, question to you. Do you feel you're part of the body of Christ? Brother Blunt? You do. Well, we have assurances that God is and that he does do, and he lives on the inside. But we have to be born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside, because that's really what helps us to love.
To love. Yes.
Because we can't do it by ourselves. Matter of fact, we don't want to. That would be the attitude. Does anybody else want to help him with that? He wants to know the difference.
I think we did discuss that difference. What it is when people say we're all children of God, we're all the creation of God. And I just learned this in the last few years. Because when you hear from people, well, we're all children of God, but children of God imitate their father. Once they're born, they imitate their father. You see a definite change in them. But the change also must come in the rest of us who have already been calling ourselves children of God. But when you think about children, You have to go all the way back to what Jesus said when they were trying to keep the little children
from coming.
The adult children of God that have been born again have such a difference in the way they handle things, the way they talk, the way they walk. And you can see it. You might see a creation child of God
walking,
and they might be emulating the same thing, because there is a certain amount of things that we will do right. But one who has that is a true child of God, when you think of being engrafted, what do you, why are you engrafted? Because you want something better and more fuller and that will give more fruit. So there's a big, there is a difference. And like I said, I've just discovered this myself in the past few years, because I've always heard the expression, we're all children of God, but we're not. We would imitate God if we were. We would do the love thing. We would go out of our way. There's just so many things that we would do, you know.
Pastor, and then
this, you, Elder. This is why the study of the word is so important. That answer is right here in your text. You look at what John says. Hereby we know that we dwell in him because he hath given us his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If we were all children of God, you would not need a Savior. Who shall confess, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
And when we look on this lesson, we want to see how many times the EHT is. The EHT means there, and each one of those words means that it's not something that you just have.
That's right.
My teacher asked Brother Blunt the question, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. But the question is, do you have the assurance? And that's what she put it to him. She said, it has to be an assurance. It's not a feeling that you have.
Right.
It is an assurance that you have, that you are a child of God, that you are a son of God. Then John goes on and says, we have known and believed that the love of God is sent unto us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love, loveth and dwelleth in God, God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in them. I mean, you could go down through the whole lesson, and it's right there. Because herein is love made perfect. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love him because we first loved us. Now, the verse that would fit. This is, the question becomes, is what we've been asked in the last few weeks, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
I know what the world says, but as you as a believer, what is your answer? And if you can't answer them, then that in itself is an indictment. If you ask me about the Stevens family, and you say, are you a Stevens?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know you're a Stevens? But I don't, and I can't answer you as to, well, who was the father of the Stevens?
Yes.
If I'm not sure, then you would wonder, well, are you part of that family?
Yeah.
Because if you don't know,
right.
This is salvation 101.
Yes.
This aspect of it, of knowing that who he is and what is the difference between that believer and unbeliever.
Yes.
That's salvation 101.
Yes.
Because you can't come out of a world that you don't know that you are not a part of. You come into another world that you don't know how to get into. It's not so you have this is basic. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar.
He's a liar.
So the world will stand up on there and say, we are children of God, but do you hate your brother?
Yes.
And then, that person, John makes it clear, he's a liar.
Yes.
But he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen,
that's
how
right.
can he love him whom he hath not, whom he hath not seen?
Yes. Yes. Elder?
Just two scriptures I want to read these two scriptures and now talk about for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 3:10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil.
Uh-huh.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Then you jump over to 4:9, it says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, and that's the word, live through him.
Yeah.
When you look at this, when I was looking at the two verses, mm-hmm. it dawned on me, and I'll use you that example, mm-hmm. only by you having a baby will you have children. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, no baby, no children.
No children.
So it's very, very plain that you have to be born of something to be something.
Yes.
Okay? In Adam, we were born into the world in sin.
Yes.
So how do we take away the sin? We got to be born again.
Again. Yes.
So therefore, I want to get back to Blunt's question. I mean, we are children either way you look at it.
Yes.
Were you born of God or born of the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Any child that's born has to be nurtured and grow mm-hmm. thereby. At what point in time does that child become a man?
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can act like an adult,
mm-hmm.
take on adult responsibilities
mm-hmm.
at a very early age.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they have all the earmarkings of an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But their age does not say that they are an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can't vote yet, mm-hmm. but I can still take care of four kids, mm-hmm. make sure they're washed and clothed, and send them to school. So, with being a man comes maturity.
Yes.
To be matured is an aspect of growth
mm-hmm.
to womanhood or manhood. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child.
That's right.
But when I became a man, I put away
childish
things.
Yes.
That's the earmarking of the difference. Whether you want to stay a child,
mm-hmm.
if you still want to play with those toys you played with when you were 9, 10, and 11, or do you want to put them aside and move on to the deeper things of God, the meatier things of God? So therefore, and I think Pastor mentioned it, ask yourself the question, then go back and reread what we just read, and that's what I did, to find those two pieces there. You know, because I said, wow, only by being born can you have children. So if you don't have children, they're not born. So therefore, I like what it said in verse 9. God gave his son so that we may what?
Live.
So how can we live? It's like Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? You know, he's saying, you can live. So, wow, I can live.
Yes.
So that means I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. So therefore, it becomes easier to put away childish things once you know what you're born of. But the world doesn't teach. The world teaches the opposite.
Yes.
The more toys you have,
yes.
you know?
So, yes, Brother Blunt says thanks for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I think you're sure now on everybody's child of God. Yes.
But see, that wasn't my answer. I built on that answer from what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the word builds upon itself. I was going to say that too. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sister Nicholson. That's right.
Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God,
yes.
God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 2 and 5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. 1 John 2 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
He that saith he abideth in him
mm-hmm.
ought himself also so to walk
mm-hmm.
even as he walked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you cannot say you've been born again and walk slew-footed and box ankle as
right.
the church used to say.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I hear it now amongst us those of the race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, God's Holy Ghost, my 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to go back to the altar. I go back to the altar. We all go. And the mothers will get down there, everybody's there.
Yes.
But like I told you though, that don't mean nothing.
Yes.
Because you got to have something to keep you. Mm-hmm. And if it ain't rooted and it ain't grounded, mm-hmm. as I remember the sermon that Elder Bailey preached, some fell on stone ground.
Yeah.
Some fell. Yes. I mean, you got to have something that's going to keep you.
Yes.
And nowadays, they don't get nothing but just shake and quake.
That's right.
Or shake and bake. Reverend Nelson said they get to shake and bake.
Wow.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they got a Bible under their arm, and they on their way to do the will of God. But you got to be seasoned.
You do.
You got to be rooted in the ground. You got to go through something. They don't want to suffer.
Yeah. And in that scripture, I'll get you.
Okay, thank
in
you.
That scripture that you read.
Yes, ma'am.
You read the word abideth.
Yeah.
And there again,
that's
the T-H, abideth.
Uh-huh.
Abideth. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
It doesn't, as you say, you don't just get it.
Right.
So, oh, I got it. I don't need it no more.
No.
Abideth. Right. So that means it is continuing.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just want to add my last comment. Read 13, verse 13, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he is in us.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he has given us of his spirit.
Yes.
And when you think, sometimes I would let that pass
mm-hmm.
in the spirit.
Spirit.
But then I think about it. What does the spirit give to the church? Some preachers. Some teachers, some pastors.
That's it.
So if this spirit that has given you all these gifts dwells in you, not only are you in him, but you have a gift. I'll stop there.
But it can't be done without the spirit.
Without the spirit.
Cannot.
Cannot?
No.
We can't love.
No.
We can't treat each other right.
No.
And I think another thing about that spirit, it's going to help us to pray.
Yes.
And I think Sister Gwen said it when she was talking about the prayer she heard. When the spirit abideth on the inside, it'll bring you spiritual things. And we need spiritual things because the world doesn't like us.
No.
I already read you that where Jesus said the world hated him. You know it's going to hate you.
Yes, yes.
But we have to be born of the Spirit. The other thing, as Brother Blunt was asking that question, I went back to the word assurance.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we have to be fully convinced. Full conviction. We make convictions to certain things. We have to be fully convicted that Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
Our Savior, he died, he rose, he came, he's coming back again.
Yes.
Yes.
We've got to have that assurance.
Mm-hmm.
If we still waiting on a writing in the sky, then we've missed it. We've missed it. When we talk about God's love, believing God's love for us should make us do right.
Yes.
It really should make us be better people.
Yes.
Chain reaction. God loved us. Our love now goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it should flow out.
Yes.
We should touch somebody with God's love.
Yes.
But again, you lead by example.
Yes.
I like what you said, walking slew foot.
Yes.
Now, if we're walking like that, don't follow somebody doing that.
Half-stepping.
Mm-hmm. And it's all right to cut folks off if you don't feel that they're of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how it happens, but for some reason, those who are not of God have a stronger pull on us that are of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen. So it be quick, because we're born of the Spirit.
Yes.
Spirit gives us unctions, lets us know what's right. As we started this morning, I started at 4 and 1.
Yeah.
And I went from 1 all the way to 12 before we started 13.
Yes.
Because 1 said, beloved.
Yeah.
Believe not every spirit. We got to know that. But try the spirits, whether they be of God. Say, well, why do we have to try them? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Yes.
Mother Nicholson said, you got people giving a quick message here and everybody's shaking and jumping in.
That's all they're doing.
And ain't heard nothing.
Not a word. Not a word.
They're going for a feeling.
Right.
I want to feel better.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good this morning. I'm going to church so I can feel better.
Yeah.
It's not always. Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirit.
Yes.
Sister Pat.
I was going to say, I know we haven't even gotten there yet, but it's in the second half of the Sunday school.
Five, go ahead.
Right, that would answer the question that Brother Blunt wanted to know. And that's the first five verses. That whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And that's the answer right there.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's right in the lesson.
Right in the lesson.
Look at that.
Whosoever believeth,
right.
Whosoever believeth, and there is the TH on believeth.
Continue.
But for some people, and even when I was young in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
it took a while before I could really grasp.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So having him ask those questions, it's good, because if he doesn't ask a question that's true in his heart, he won't know. So even, I think Sunday school and Bible studies are the places that you ask those questions, because those questions will help you grow. That might be another toy I don't need anymore.
Absolutely.
I can get rid of that wagon now because I know I'm too big for a wagon.
Amen.
Instead of keeping it. But, Brother Blunt, we were just speaking about you. Those are good questions that you ask.
Yeah.
And this is the place to ask questions that you really don't know. Ask them. Because we will tell you what the Word said. And Sister Pat read verse 5, 1-5, which helped understand everybody being a child of God. And like we say, God did create them all. But 5 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that believeth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. Whosoever believer, whosoever confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was an excellent question, and really we hope your question was answered and that you understand a little bit more the difference in the children of God and the children of the world.
Yes. That's
because they are there. Yes. And they want to believe. See, they want to do what they do, but they want to believe.
That's it.
I'm still a child. I'm going to heaven.
Right.
But they want to do what they want to do.
Right. That's right. Right.
And they don't work like that. They don't work like that. Pastor.
The verse you just read, he got to believe in loving him. Yeah, the word that the Bible spoke to is action.
Yes.
Believe it. And you said it's not about the emotional feeling.
That's right.
That's it comes. You have the feeling.
emotion is there. But the issue has to do with believing unto obedience. Whosoever loveth, or whosoever believeth, obeyeth, loveth God.
Yes.
That's yes. It. Yes. And whoever obeys and loveth God will obey the Son.
Right.
So if you don't obey,
absolutely.
No one can tell you anything.
Right.
And if you cannot learn anything, and you won't follow God except for just as the world does.
Yes.
As far as I want to go. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not going out because it's raining. Mm-hmm. You know, tell them to get the umbrella, but you know, I'm not going. I'm not going to do this because I don't think I need to do this.
Yeah.
See, that means you don't love Him.
Yes, right.
Because you're not only going to obey God, you're going to obey God and His Son.
Yes.
And then in obeying His Son, Elder Billy spoke to it. And the question was, and I think Father's discussion was different between a child of God and a man of God. Elder Billy spoke to it. Maturity.
Mm-hmm.
The child. That child comes in. And so I said, this is basic. This is salvation 101. Because even the babe should know this. I read one sometimes and talk about the fact that the Indian had more piety than some Christians. Because the Indian showed in his faith that he was more willing to do and to follow the precepts of his faith, even though it was idolatry. You look at some Muslims show more commitment to their faith, to obedience to those things, than some who call ourselves Christians.
Yes.
So what happens is, the person is not just questioning or not just identifying. They're looking at us and they're saying, well, what's the difference between you and me? You say you're a child of God.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm a child of God.
That's right.
So what's the difference? Do we do the same things?
Mm-hmm.
Do we walk the same way? Mm-hmm. Do we talk the same way? Mm-hmm. Because if they do, that's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't see no difference in you.
That's right.
Then there's any difference in me.
That's
the opposite of what John is saying.
Mm-hmm.
John says that the world, God, Christ says, the world will hate us.
Yes.
Yeah. They hated Him.
Yes.
It's going to hate us.
Yes.
To be friends with the world is to be at enmity with God.
Yes.
And there was the issue. That's why love is gentle. And love, it always reaches out and endureth all things, hopeth all things, beareth all things.
Yes.
You know, but also love cuts with a razor. And it makes a clear separation between the two.
Yes.
So we have to examine ourselves and find whether or not we're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit bears witness with our spirits.
Yes.
See, that she asked about the assurance. The Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. Thereby, it flies in the heart and mother's head. We can cry, Abba, Father.
Yes.
See, I can call Him my Father. Mm-hmm. I had someone one day, they were talking, and they loved my dad. I knew they did.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to make it seem that they were closer to my dad than I was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to say anything.
No.
Because everything they could say, and I had an aunt, she was doing with my mom. And I didn't have to say anything. Because, but I did finally, when she started telling me, you know, your mom did something. I said, you know what? I said, let me tell you something. I said, my mom not only talked to you about me, but my mom talked to me about you. and I said, so I don't have to ask you what happened in the circumstance. I said, I was right there. And we had that relationship, and that's that key, that communion, and that's why fellowship is so important. Speaks to, again, what's the difference between the mature Christian, between the weak Christian, between the carnal Christian, because you have all of this. Oh, I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
Well, how do you stand as a child of God? Are you an obedient child of God?
Yes.
You know, are you one of those wayward sons of God?
Uh-huh.
are you one of those faithful sons of God?
Yes.
Can He use you? You know, will you obey Him? Or does He have to almost sometimes take us and drag us and pull us along?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mother spoke to it this morning.
Yeah.
God leads His children all alone.
Yes. Yes. Sister Gwen?
I did want to say this. Like you earlier said, how important Bible study and Sunday school is.
Mm-hmm.
So many people now are going from, they go to church.
That's
There's
all.
No Sunday school where you can teach.
No.
You know, and I felt for several years that the teaching ought to be from the pulpit, if you're going to have church, you need to get into the Bible and give somebody something to eat that day, not just to feel good. You know, and most of us want to feel good sometimes.
That's right. That's
regardless
right.
of what we're going through, we want to feel good.
We do.
But when you get, and I like the one word Elder Bell used, because I've been saying, I've been growing up, but I've been maturing.
Yes.
You know, I'm understanding.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how old you are, but God is showing me that as well. Because he's calling us children.
Yes.
And we will always be
his children. Yes.
We're born again.
Yes.
You know, and it's so exciting. At first it kind of made me stumble when I said, but you ought to know this. You ought to know. No, no. It's according to the maturity that you have. And it's according to how much you want to know about God. And you want to know, well, am I your child or not? You know, these are things that come up. But I have to always admit, I get so excited with Sunday school that I'm ready to go home and just meditate on Sunday school all day. But it's the maturity. It's not about age.
No.
It's not about how long you've been in church.
No.
It's about growing in that grace and love of God. Learning how to love, truly love. Yeah, it's an action word, but are you in action?
Yes.
You know, so I just thank you. I thank you all for everything this morning, because it makes me know that I'm still teachable, which I read in the Psalms the other day.
Yes.
We must remain teachable.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Elder?
Quick comment. I just want to clear up a little bit of that children aspect one more time. Oftentimes when we think of children, we think of children.
Yes.
But I want to use my wife as an example. Her mother still considers Richie her child.
Mm-hmm.
She has other children, all are grown.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're grown. So when you see children in the Bible, kind of keep that in context.
Exactly.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I like about the Word of God, when you hear people say, what do you think? When you hear somebody say, whatever. What comes to your mind when you hear somebody say, whatever? It means whatever you say, whatever. If you're going to say that, I like the Word in the Bible that says, that you read, Elder Nicholson, and I like it, said, whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
I like that word.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever means whosoever.
That's right.
Whether you're rich, poor, black, white, green, yellow.
Absolutely.
That word for me is all inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you ever wanted a word that's all inclusive, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever want to come, let them come.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever, I like it. So I like when you, that's what triggered when you mentioned, when you read verse 15.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sunday school is really so important.
It is.
I could really go to Sunday school and then go home. You know, I used to think that because I would love Sunday school. I said, boy, I could go home after Sunday school because I ain't got everything I need. That's what we think. But I thank the Lord for our lesson. And one thing, as Elder was saying about Peter making all those, you know, I want to go. Not thinking about what he was doing. It reminded me when I was a young girl and when my father would take the car keys down, I wanted to go. I didn't know where he was going. I didn't care where he was going. I wanted to go. So sometimes we are impulsive and we do things impulsively without thinking of the consequences or the distance we may have to go. So I hope as we have talked more, we've talked more about love, and we've talked about love for about 3 weeks now, that we get a deeper understanding of love. Now, our young children,
look at her.
Crazy. Look what you got.
Wow.
What is this?
A chain.
And